Muy buenos días, amados y amigos presentes y los que están conectados a través de...
Good morning, beloved and friends present, and for everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the internet in different countries. Warm greetings to my friend and brother, the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. May God bless him greatly, and may continue using him abundantly in the work of all the family of God in this end time, the elect, us. And may he continue guiding his steps. May he continue giving him a lot of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, so that he may continue giving light through the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. May he continue speaking to the people the things that God is doing and confirming them wherever he goes. In his eternal and glorious name, we pray, William, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen and amen. And truly, the Bolivian people is beautiful. It is a people that God looks upon it. And in this time, he is seeing you through his two eyes. And God has extended his mercy towards Bolivia. And he desires that there be many Bolivian people in the Millennial Kingdom. May there be elect of God in that glorious Millennial Kingdom, and may they be Bolivians. Behold a group here. There were still brethren who could not come because of some strikes that took place, and they couldn't make it. They were from La Paz, Cochabamba, and several places. For them also, may God bless them, and God knows their heart. They wanted to be here. The blessing of the Lord is also for them. I am very happy to be here. But I'm super happy. And it is as I was at home. Today, for today, we have this glorious subject titled The Multiple Fulfillment of the Scriptures, preached on January 23rd, 2005 in Goiânia, Brazil. And our brother William used the scripture there of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13-23. And let us search in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 and on, where it tells us, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that man should fear before him. That which had been is now, and that which is to be had already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. The multiple fulfillment of the scriptures. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven revealed to the elect. Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us in this message, preached on December 16th of 2006 in Guatemala. He tells us, therefore, keep your eyes wide open, because we are going to be seeing the fulfillment of what was promised for this end time by the Old Testament prophets and by Moses himself, and also in the Psalms. What is promised in the Psalms, what was spoken by the apostles and by Jesus Christ himself, and what was spoken by the apostle Paul, and what was spoken by different messengers of different ages, and by what was spoken by the Reverend William Branham, who was the messenger of the seventh age of the Gentile Church, that is, the age of Laodicea, an age that was fulfilled in North America, and he was also the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. And also by what was spoken by Dr. William Soto Santiago. Notice that now by him living, by God taking him, then Dr. William Soto Santiago is also added to what he is saying here. In other words, everything that was promised by the apostles, by the seven angel messengers, including the Reverend William Branham, and also by Dr. William Soto Santiago, that will be fulfilled at this end time. Because when God finishes with a messenger and takes him to rest, God then continues his work through another prophet messenger. It has always been that way. God has always worked that way from the beginning. Because Amos 3:7 tells us, the Lord would do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets. They are God's television, where everything that comes from the throne of God, from heaven, is spoken and said. That is God's communication with the human beings, a prophet. Now notice, in the message, the God of this evil age, the Reverend William Branham tells us, the Reverend William Branham was the messenger forerunner raised up in North America. His message impacted the whole world. And through him, God brought to us all the message that would forerun the second coming of the Lord. The Reverend William Marion Branham is the forerunner of the coming of the Lord. Ministry that the Holy Spirit was operating in him, which was the ministry of Elijah in its fourth manifestation. For whoever wishes to receive him, he is that Elijah that was to come. He was the one who Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 17. Verse 9 and on, it says, and as they come down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. That was the Reverend William Marion Branham, forerunner of the coming of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit was operating the ministry of Elijah in its fourth manifestation. But I say unto you, and there he referred to John the Baptist, where the Holy Spirit was working the ministry of Elijah in its third manifestation. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Now, in the message that I announced to you here, titled The God of this Evil Age, on page 39 on this message, it tells us, remember, the hour is close at hand when the mark will come. You'll either be in it or out of it. It'll come like a thief in the night. It'll catch you right in there, and you're there. There ain't no getting out of it then. You don't took it. Come out. An angel come down from heaven with a great shining face and cried out to the people. He shook the earth. Come out of Babylon, for she is fallen. Be not partakers of her plagues, my people. Get out of her. Get out. Didn't we just read in the Word a while ago? An angel is a messenger. See? Coming down. Notice the Holy Spirit. Come out of her, that you be not partakers. And there he writes, the mark of the beast will come. Now, she has built all these things. She has built great churches. She has built college, schools, taking the people and educating them into a better so-called civilization. And they've educated them by a modern civilization that's brought them into the pit of death by knowledge, away from God and His Word. There to the right, he draws Star of David. Don't you see the whole scheme? Do you see that, church? Out on the air, if you see it, your own congregation out there say amen. The rest of them will know where you're standing, see? Then the rest will know where you're standing, see? She did it. It's a God of this earth, and she has built colleges. She had built universities, she has built hospitals, she had built libraries, she had built all these things for the temporary help of men. Just enough to deceive them, to get off of that word. And what she led them to, the whole church world is plunged into death. For God said that He would burn the whore and her children with an everlasting fire. Come out of it, people. Don't you be caught in there. You get away from that thing as quick as you can. By her scientific knowledge, she has been able to do this. Now notice, without God's word. God never did ordain us to go out and have schools. He never told us to build hospitals. They're good. He never told us to build libraries. No, sir, He never. He said, preach the gospel. And the gospel is demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, the gospel come to us, not through word only, but through the manifestation and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I never come to you with great words of wisdom by some doctor of so forth, but I come to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of knowledge of the man of this world, but in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He lives, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God help us to believe the same thing, and God vindicate the same thing as He has been doing. He keeps you from seeing the true revelation and faith of God's Word being revealed and vindicated today by His schools, libraries, literature, hospitals, and so forth. See? He keeps you from it. He is now interpreting as He did to Pharaoh, trying to keep you from seeing the meaning of the vindicated word of His promised age in the evening light, vindicated and proved. There he writes, real meaning. He has tried by His knowledge and schools and better educated people and ethics and so forth to keep you away from seeing that. Anything so that you won't look at that and see that's Jesus Christ. How do you know it's Jesus Christ? He is the Word. And He is the Word of this age. And above that he writes, Jesus Christ is the word of this age, and to the left, a cornerstone in the ages. And this age said that this would take place in this age. And here it is happening, see? He's trying his best to keep you from seeing that. In other words, the devil. He'll tack any dirty name onto it he can, see? He'll call it Holy Rollers and everything else. He called Jesus Beelzebub, and they called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more are they going to call the disciples, see? Trying to keep you from seeing the real meaning of the word. And there he writes, Satan keeps them from seeing the real meaning of the word. When they say, don't listen, do not connect or join, don't read. Those people are being used by the enemy of God right there. Because we were told, connect, listen to everything that will come forth from the tent. In other words, when you see people or leaders who tell a people not to connect, you already identified him, that leader, as someone who doesn't wish and doesn't want you to be transformed. As simple as that. In other words, the people must be a wise people, and they must be an obedient people, and they must be a people who fights for their blessing as individuals, trying to keep you from seeing the real meaning of the word. The one who gave it is the only one who can give meaning to that word. That word, as it was spoken, that's how it must be. Because that which the prophets brought was thus saith the Lord. Therefore, the only one who can place that word right is the Holy Spirit in the midst of the people of God, working as he has always worked, through a prophet. Now what? Three dots. See? He's interpreting it, saying it means this. God said, I promise in the last days, I'd send you Malachi 4. It don't have to be interpreted. He did it. He said, it is like, he said that the ministries of Moses in the Aya will be in the Great Tent Cathedral. That doesn't need no interpretation. What is the interpretation of that? The fulfillment. The presence of that ministry in the midst of the people. There is the interpretation. No, that is that it has to be like this or like that. It's because when he returns, they're adding to the revelation that was brought. And whoever adds to it, we already know what was said there in the book of Revelation. Plagues will be added to him. And whoever takes away from it, his name will be taken away from the book of life. He said, and as it was in the days of Lot, the world will be in a Sodom condition. And in that time, I will reveal the Son of Man by it exactly. We got all kinds of impersonations and everything else of it. But we got the real one too. Because when there is a fake dollar, there must be a real one. They are a bunch of impersonators, but God has one. He has the real one. See? He said he would do it. He said the Antichrist would rise up and almost deceive the elect if it was possible. But said, let them alone. Let them go ahead. Their folly will be found out. Why? The word test proves it. Notice that the word is what makes the test. The word is what makes that separation. See? When it comes to that word, that had been back this way. That, oh, I don't believe in serpent's seed, I don't believe in this, that, and the other. It never been revealed. See? No, never. Oh, brother, just look where. We're going to have to close because it's 12 o'clock. Notice, trying to keep you from seeing the meaning of the word of this age, of evening light, being interpreted. And he writes, vindicated. It is. What does it mean? It's the time of Exodus. It's at hand. God is coming for her, as sure as the world. See? And there he writes, Exodus, and to the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice, our brother William continues to say, all of that is what the Holy Spirit spoke from the Old Testament up to the Reverend William Branham. And at this time, we will be seeing the fulfillment of each one of them. And we will also be hearing the testimony that will be given in the message at this end time regarding the things that are promised for our time. And one of them, because notice, Brother Branham told us in the Book of the Seals on page 127 on the Book of the Seals. And also on page 148. Let us go to 148, it says. Seven thunders of Revelation, may he show the bride how to prepare for the great translation faith. In other words, that is what the people would be hearing at this end time. He said that the thunders would be uttering in a tent. In other words, it is a tent ministry. We saw Moses in his ministry under the tent. And at the end of time, he would send his reaping angels. And one of the ministries is the ministry of Moses. In other words, wherever Moses is, you are going to see him with a tent. Now, on page 123, he tells us, and then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that is not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. And he writes, rapturing faith. Now notice. Look at what Brother William continues to say here. And as they are being fulfilled, they are being identified in the message of the last day, of the end time. Things will be identified as they are being fulfilled. And this is for the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not just for any person. It is for a group of elect of God, predestinated of God, since before the foundation of the world, who at this end time would be receiving the rapturing faith. And this is for the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ has the faith, the revelation, to be transformed with all the believers, members of his church bride in that stage of the age of the cornerstone. We have seen that we are living at the end time, in the time when the last or the little ones, simple people, will have the mystery or mysteries of the kingdom of heaven revealed to them, which pertain to this end time. And therefore, everything related to this end time will be revealed to them. They will even receive the revelation of the messenger of the last day, who the messenger of the last day will be, and the message that he will be bringing, and the work that he will be carrying out. In other words, it will also be revealed to them who the messenger is. And already today, October 20th of 2024, here in Bolivia, there is a people who have identified that messenger. and have identified the work that that messenger would be carrying out. And which was the work? Look, the most important thing. He is giving the rapturing faith, because the greatest miracle that God can perform on this planet Earth is to open the spiritual eyes of a blind person who has them closed. A person who has them closed in the spiritual realm. To open his spiritual eyes, that is the greatest miracle. Because with that miracle, all the other miracles will follow right after. Such as the miracle of the transformation. Such as the miracle of the eternal and glorified body. Once you have your spiritual eyes open, you are already healed. You're already seeing that stone moving. The stone is already moving, as Brother Branham said. But I don't see it moving. It is moving. You already have your spiritual eyes open. From that point on, the promised land is already assured for you. With that, you have your ticket to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, what the people need in each age and each dispensation is a prophet. Once the people have the Holy Spirit guiding them, they have everything. They are a people whose success is certain. Now notice in the message, the way of a true prophet of God, the Reverend William Branham tells us. And why do we read from the message of the Reverend William Branham? Because he said, look at what he said, so that he who asks, or who's been asking in his heart on this occasion, why does he read from the message of Brother Branham? He says on page 119, and you can go on looking for where he says that I'm laying a foundation for a quick, short message that will go around the earth. But let us go to 119 where he says, paragraph 1058, he says, I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. Where would that messenger stand? Under the message, under the word that the Reverend William Branham brought. Where am I going to stand? On the message of Brother Branham. That is the platform. In other words, to put it plainly, that is my platform, see? I may be taken before that time. But I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age, yet at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he's here, see? Unless I'm shot, killed, or something other. Some way killed, just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. So, at that time, that veil of flesh was not born yet. He was not going to die of old age without him being here. Because he would have been about 65 years old when that instrument was born. And he left in 1965. In other words, he did not have the opportunity in his body of flesh to see him, to greet him. But do you know something? He indeed saw him. And he spoke with him. And that instrument, he prepared a way for while he was on earth. He spoke with him. And he told him things that he said. When I went in there, what he told me, they had a good conversation in there. And he saw him. And he says, I have to keep it to myself. In other words, God granted him to be able to meet that instrument. The angel was showing him, look, look at that, look at now. And he was showing everything. And then, Who better than the angel to take him to that place? Because he says, the angel and I came down. Now, there is something so big there, but so simple at the same time, that when he was looking at everything there, and seeing everything and hearing everything, up to the point that he even saw a name. And the angel told him, do you remember the name you were hunting for? And that name that he was looking for, he saw it there. And for sure, everything started making sense to him. And he said, what he told me there, I will keep it in my heart. No human being in this world will ever know it. In other words, through his mouth, no one would know it. Now, God at this time, with the fulfillment of what he saw there, is that the church bride would understand and would be receiving that revelation that he saw and heard in there. Now, we could say so many things here, of which, as God gives us more light, we get closer to that glorious moment of the resurrection. But as God brings us the revelation of the mystery of His coming, remember that that squeeze is getting closer and closer. And the squeeze in the time of the apostles, remember that we always see in history that it was because of the name. That was what they said to the disciples back at that time. Stop preaching in that name already. In other words, that time is getting closer and closer. But the elect of God knows that in the time of the squeeze, when that persecution comes, Brother Branham says, don't get scared. He says, don't get scared, because anyone in a squeeze, anyone gets scared. But we were already told, don't get scared, there is a light that says that she will be taken away, raptured. She will not go through the tribulation. Which one? Where is that one at? In the book of quotation. Let us read it. Let's finish here. It says, for as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See? So, it's paralleled in every way. And I know it will. The message will go on. Now on 100... Notice we're right here, on same page 119, to the left, there in paragraph 1054, when that persecution comes, don't get scared. There is a light, said he would catch his people away. And that light is the pillar of fire that the Reverend William Branham saw speaking to someone. Speaking to someone there in that activity that he was taken to, where he was seeing everything that was happening in that place. And that is the pillar of fire, the pillar of light, that is in the midst of the Latin American and Caribbean people, which is telling them repeatedly, when that persecution comes, don't get scared. Here is the light. Behold the light. Behold the pillar of fire that has come to get his people so that they don't go through the great tribulation. As simple as that. Now notice, on 157, which is the page where it talks about a short message, paragraph 1407, it says, I am only building. The hour is close at hand, when you're going to see something happen, when something is going to take place. And all this background, notice, what he brought us is a background, and all this background here has only been laying a foundation for a short quick message that will shake the whole nations. Why I've been picking on women, it's just been laying up here for something that you can hit it right on the head with it. And he writes there, a quick message will come and shake the nations. To the left he writes, the gospel of the kingdom. And at the bottom he writes, Revelation 11, from 3 and on. Now notice why we read from the messages of the Reverend William Branham. Now we took this little shortcut here to see these portions. But notice what he tells us in this message, the way of a true prophet of God. He tells us on page 13, Israel was in the backslidden condition. Her preachers, her priests, and also her government had all left the word of the Lord. Now, they didn't believe that. They believed that they were with the word of the Lord, but there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Why was they wrong? Why could a man believe that they were wrong? A whole priesthood of men, thousands of preachers and priests and kings and governors, all who professed to be worshippers of God, and yet all of them were wrong. Then they didn't need a king for prosperity. What they needed was a prophet, because the word of the Lord, or the interpretation of the word of the Lord, comes to a true prophet. Sometimes you can see what his way is then. It's a pretty rugged way, when all the priests and all the preachers and all the diviners and the government itself against him. But yet, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, and that alone. He has the right word, although he had the same Bible they had. Although they had the same Bible. In other words, they had the message of Moses back then, of Isaiah and of everyone. But notice, Jesus read to them Isaiah, which was the scripture that they also had. In other words, he read the same thing that they had there, that for sure they read. And then that scripture came to life in Jesus. And they could not believe that in Jesus of Nazareth, in that young carpenter from Nazareth, that scripture was being fulfilled in him. Isaiah 61, where he said, "This day this scripture has been fulfilled before you." Now he goes on to say, but the word was to him. God was vindicating that he had the word. And beside that, he writes Amos 3:7. Now, he continues to say here, in this other message, the God of this evil age, on page 19, below it says, the doctors take instruments and try to find what's wrong. They can't do it. We can't tell. But then, the Holy Spirit comes out and reveals what he is and exposes him. See? That's what the Word of God is. It is a light that shines in darkness. And when you take, and he writes here, in other words, it would be when you hear a noise in the room, it sounds mysterious. A bunch of something working, and you don't know what it is. Turn on the light, quickly, cricket, roaches, they are children of the darkness. And there he writes, cricket, roaches, children of darkness. And he also writes, turn on the light, and you'll see the crickets of the darkness running away. In the message, there's a man here that can turn on the light, also speaks to us about this. He goes on to say, and when the light flashes, they scattered away. They went out from us because they wasn't of us. The Bible said, see, they cannot live in the light of the world, for the God of heaven has sent his light in these last days, that he might lighten the path for his children. that they might not walk in darkness and stumble, but they might walk in the light of the shining of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, light. Now, how does God turn on the light in the midst of the human race, in the midst of the people to whom God sent that light to? Through the messenger. God sends his messenger. He turns on the light of that age or dispensation. And there, you can see everything clear. Now, notice in the light of the new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, God is the one who is present. It is the Shekinah. It is the pillar of fire that by being turned on by that messenger, everything is exposed. And there is when the scattering takes place, because that which was being done in what we saw on one occasion regarding that serpent sneaking among the weeds, and that is in the midst of darkness. When it comes and turns on that light, then you can see all the movements of that snake, of that serpent. That's from the dream or vision that the Reverend William Branham had. Now, notice what our brother William continues to say here. But it will all be the Holy Spirit in him, doing those works pertaining to the last day, and bringing the message of the last day. For them, we have the promise that the mystery of the seventh seal will be revealed to them. And we'll stop there. For the mystery of the seventh seal is the mystery of the second coming of the Lord. Now, where he says here, and we'll stop there. And in other messages he used to tell us, we can't speak about this. Today we can say, we are not going to stop here. We're not stopping. Because what we are receiving is the mystery, the revelation of his coming. How? He would be fulfilling that prophecy. How will he come? He says. How will he come? And when will he come? He says. And it is good that he doesn't reveal it. I think it is in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And there should be an excerpt in the book of quotations. Because that message, I think I brought it. See if it's on top of the desk. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Or that excerpt may be in the book of quotations where he said, how will he come? And when will he come? He says, and it is good that he doesn't reveal it. Now notice that that revelation could not be given in past times, because that revelation was to be made known to those who would be waiting for his coming. Excuse me, here it is. Let us see here. In this message, he tells us, let us see if we can find it quickly. It should be on page 15 of this message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. It says, now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. See? Then you will understand clearly then, you see, on, I believe, what is being done. God's great mystery of how it's a secret. He kept it a secret, and it's the mystery of His coming. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See, He did reveal that. That's the reason under our seventh mystery. When the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. And there on the right, He drew a Star of David. Jesus, when He was on earth, they wanted to know when He would come. He said, it's not, even the Son Himself don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to Himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. And seven thunders ordered their voices, and John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing He hasn't revealed yet, of how He will come and when He will come. It's a good thing that He doesn't know. Now notice, He could not make known that mystery of the seventh seal, of how He would come and when He would come. In other words, how? How would He come? How He was going to manifest? Now remember the message that He said that one could not speak openly because the imitators would appear trying to imitate the second coming of the Lord. And you may say, but how are they going to imitate the second coming of the Lord? Well, Thaddeus and Judas rose up in the time of Jesus, and they took many with them. But that vanished away because it was not the fulfillment of what God had promised. See? In other words, for the first coming of the Lord, when God fulfilled His coming, in that young carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the divinity theologians of that time were expecting the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord with the heavens open, coming down there to where the headquarters of Pharaoh and of the high priest and of that time. They were expecting Him with a human interpretation, human reasoning of the prophecies that spoke and said that that was the time for the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. But when God fulfilled that promise, a child was born in the midst of the Hebrew people, who was created by the spoken word of the Archangel Gabriel, who begot that little body by the spoken word, cell after cell upon Mary's womb, and He grew. He was born. He was raised in the midst of the people. He had a job. He did carpentry work, because His father was a carpenter, a woodworker. And He was there in the midst of the people until the time came up when the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy began, where He had to carry out the work He came to do. And now many may say, oh, if I had been in the time of Jesus, I would have believed in Jesus. Well, what if God is fulfilling His coming in a young man, carpenter, as well? Would you believe? Would you believe in His coming? Would you believe in the fulfillment of the prophecies that He, in His second coming, would come manifested in human flesh, and that He would be operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah? If you have received Him today and believe it, if you had been in the time of Jesus, you would have done the same thing. Because a believer in the prophecies and in the Word of God is an attribute of God. And nothing can separate you from that great theophany. Wherever you are placed, in whichever time is, in the one of Noah, in the time of Abraham, in the one of Jesus, wherever you are placed to live, you will always be a believer. You will always be an elect. Nothing will take it away from you. Whether you are placed in the first age, under the messengers back then, or in this time, you will always be a believer. Now notice, in the book of quotations, on page 106, is where we have that excerpt that we read on paragraph 923. So you can write it down. For those who have the book of quotations, which is a book of excerpts of messages preached by the Reverend William Branham. And there, at the top, he writes, "Silence, half hour. The coming of the Lord equals Moses and Elijah." Now, he could not reveal that mystery. Even our brother William said, "This has to be left alone. I'm not going to speak about this for now, because if I continue to talk, I would open up that mystery." But that mystery was supposed to be opened so that the elect would have and receive the rapturing faith. But it was not the time, because that would take place under a new age and new dispensation, and it would be the Lord Himself who would open that mystery to the elect. It could not be in any other way, he says. He will present Himself. Now notice, he says, the coming of the Lord equals Moses and Elijah. How and when will He come? It was not revealed. But blessed be God that that mystery has already been opened to us. And here in Bolivia, there is already a people who have seen, received that revelation, and have understood the mystery of His coming. Because the Son of Man comes with His angels, and they already know what the seventh seal is. What is the seventh seal? The coming of the Lord. And they already know what the seventh trumpet is. What is the seventh trumpet? Moses and Elijah. What the ministries of Moses and Elijah are to Israel is the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, to the church bride. Now notice on page 59, paragraph 519, which is the one that we quoted from memory. He says, "Let's pray for God to send him. Time is at hand." I'm in the middle of that excerpt. As soon as his ministry was finished, the Messiah showed himself. As soon as this great one will come in the last days, will finish his ministry, the Messiah will show himself. There is where he writes, when his ministry is finished, the Messiah will appear. He will show himself. And other scriptures are there. Now notice here where we were going to read. Let us see where we paused. It says, the promise that the mystery of the seventh seal will be revealed to them. And let's stop there. For the mystery of the seventh seal is the mystery of the second coming of the Lord. The mystery of the coming of the Lord, which will be revealed to have the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ in the rapture. That is why that mystery of the second coming of the Lord, of the seventh seal, is revealed. They are the ones who need that revelation. Who? You and me. They are the ones who need that revelation to believe it with all their heart, and to obtain that physical transformation that is promised for the church bride of the Lord for the last day, and for the dead in Christ to be resurrected. For they will be obtaining that revelation, because they can look and see over here everything that will be happening and will be spoken at this end time. And it will be carried out in the fulfillment of what is promised for this end time. In other words, they are on the lookout over there, and hearing and seeing what is being spoken here today. The action is happening here. And in order for them to return, they must have first heard everything that is being spoken here. When the seventh seal was opened in heaven, there was silence. The seventh seal was opened in heaven, but the action of it was not made known there, but rather everything remained in silent and still. Isaiah tells us about what Brother Branham was telling us. that there was no activity in heaven. Because if anything moved or anyone did anything, the devil could see what it would be. Therefore, nothing was moving in heaven. And therefore, those who are there, they have their ears pointing to the ground, let's say, and their eyes are looking over here. So, over there, they are all looking down here. Now notice, on the Book of the Seals, on 543, he tells us, he says on paragraph 259, remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He tried to do it, we noticed it, through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There will be no mimics to this, see? Because he don't know it. There is no way for him to know it. It's the third pool. He just knows nothing about it, see? He doesn't understand it. But of course the elect understand it. But there's a secret lays beneath that. Glory to God in the highest. I can never think the same the rest of my life when I sin. Now, I don't know what, I know the next step there, but I don't know what, how to interpret that. It won't be long. Now on page 500, let us see. Where he says, that there was no activity in heaven. And where he also says, on 66, let us see. No, 542. On paragraph 252, it says, then heavens couldn't write that. Heavens can't know about it. Nothing else. Because there is nothing to go on. It was a relaxing time. It was so great till it was kept secret from the angels. Now why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There is one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of gift. I hope you're learning. But he cannot know this. It's not even written in the Word. That is why when they go out looking, they say, no, it doesn't say that here. It's not that way or not this way. But if it is not written in the Word, what are you saying if it is or not? They have nothing to base it on. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So, they just shut up, quit harping. Everything stopped. See, there was nothing in heaven during the time of that half hour of silence. In other words, that half hour of silence is where God is on earth revealing himself and making himself known to his people. He said, the half hour of silence has not yet begun in 2009. And he says, but it will begin. In other words, a time would come when the dispensation of grace would be closed and that half hour of silence would begin. Now, let us continue here where we stopped. They are the ones who need that revelation to believe it with all their heart and to obtain that physical transformation that is promised for the church bride of the Lord for the last day and for the dead in Christ to be resurrected. For they will be obtaining that revelation because they can look and see over here everything that will be happening and will be spoken at this end time. And it will be done in the fulfillment of what is promised for this end time. In this message, the greatest battle ever fought, on page 24, on paragraph 167, it says, how could we doubt when he is both scientifically, materially, spiritually, every way that can be proved, he is proved here? What's the matter? It's in our minds. We open our minds to the things, say, well, now, I don't know whether it could be or not. Maybe, if I feel better tomorrow. Oh, that don't have one thing to do with it. As I often said, Abraham might have said to Sarah, she was a past the age of being a woman. You know what I mean. It's time of life. Her 28 days. He writes, the time of life equals the 28 days. See, she was 65 years old. She was probably past it for 15, 20 years. And he said to her, maybe the next few days said, you feel any different, dear? In other words, after God gave him the promise that they were going to have a child. And he used to ask her, Brother Branham here gives like a conversation between spouses. Oh, Sarah, do you feel any different? No. Not a bit of different. You know, when a woman is pregnant, she has some symptoms. Whether it's dizziness, vomiting, I don't know what else some may feel. Sometimes they get emotional or a certain way. And that is what Abraham was asking Sarah. For sure he would look at her to see what changes she might have. Because the word was already spoken. They were going to have a son. That they were old. God spoke the word. Not a bit of different. That don't have one thing to do with it. We're going right on anyhow. That's Abraham. Well, now, if you start back as a young woman again, we know through that blood of life, well, then we find out there that it's going to cushion the baby and everything will be all right. Now, you feel any different today? It's been a month since he promised me. You feel any different, dear? He goes, hey, don't you feel anything different in you? Not a bit, Abraham. There is not a sign of nothing. I am still just like I have been now for the last few years. There's not a bit different. Glory to God. We are going to have it anyhow. That was Abraham speaking. Do you mean Abraham upon, look, if he promised you, surely he would give us a sign this way. Surely he would give us a sign. Now noticing the message, Scriptural Signs of the Time, on page 14, the Reverend William Branham tells us. He said, what did he turn to them? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after signs. Now watch, a wicked and adulterous generation. He was prophesying. He said, and they will receive it, the wicked and adulterous generation. And if that ain't the generation we're living in, I don't know why. Remember, all prophecy has a compound meaning. And there he writes, all prophecy has a multiple meaning. Now, which was the sign that was given to that wicked and adulterous generation? The sign of Jonah. Now, that was spoken in the Gospel according to Matthew. On chapter, let us see here, 11 or 12. 12. It says, verse 38 of chapter 12 of Matthew says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That was the sign that would be shown to that generation. Now, which will be the sign that will be shown to this generation in which we are living? Revelation 11. Now, she wanted a sign. Sarah did. But notice, she wanted something mystical. And the sign was in front of her. Why? Notice, the word that was spoken to Abraham was that he was going to have a son. Therefore, that sign was incarnate in Abraham. She wanted to see the sign. Well, what she had to look at was Abraham, asking her those questions and speaking to her. God was already giving her the sign. Notice how simple everything is. Now, many were waiting for a sign at the end time. And they were waiting for things to be fulfilled under their own reasoning. But notice how the sign is in their midst and in the midst of the people. I believe you understand what I'm telling you. Because notice, it was, look, now notice, look, he goes on to say, Brother Branham says, do you mean Abraham upon, look, if he promised you, surely he would give us a sign this way, surely he would give us a sign. And Brother Branham quotes this scripture, a weak and adulterous generation seek after signs. That's right, Matthew 12:39. He had a sign. What was it? God's word. That was the sign. She had the word incarnate there, in Abraham. And there he writes, the sign is the word given by God. And he said that the Holy Spirit would be made flesh at this time, and there is the sign for the church. The promise of the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. There we have the sign. Now, for the wicked and adulterous generation, the sign would be seen worldwide, which Revelation 11 will be the sign of the end of the world, for the church to live in the rapture for the world, it marks the beginning of the Great Tribulation. He had a sign. What was it? God's Word. That was the sign. How could God heal this child? God's Word said so. If I feel a sensation or no sensation, if I, three dots, no matter what happens, God said so, that settles it. And he draws Star of David to the right. Abraham said, get your bonnet and everything together, we're taking off to the land. Where are you going? I don't know. Amen. But we're going anyhow. Here we go. Packed up and going. Hallelujah. That's the real word of God. What was the hold in front of him? The promise of God, the word of God. We're going to have it. Come out from amongst your people, Abraham. There, the thing of it is, they're doubters and unbelievers. They'll have you in the same fix. Come on out. Separate yourself and live for me. If you are in a place where they are not believing the fulfillment of what was prophesied and forerun by the Reverend William Branham in what Dr. William Soto Santiago brought us, that there would be preaching and the teaching of the thunders would be made known in a great St. Cathedral, it is time for you to get out of that place, because you are going to stay and go down. If we're a little bit high, you will go down and descend to their same level, to being an unbeliever. And God does not want unbelievers in his kingdom. Now, God is carrying out a separation. It's time for you to separate yourself. What is it? Leave all your conscience and senses behind you, like that. Open up your mind and remember, it's me. Come, live with me. Amen. God is calling every seed of Abraham this morning to that same kind of a life. God is calling, and above that he writes the veil, because God always speaks to the people through a veil of flesh. And in this morning, God is speaking to you through the veil of flesh. Get out of there. Wake up to reality. Wake up to the promises and prophecies that God has at this time, which are being fulfilled. Great battle is on now worldwide. God wants his children separating themselves from what? See, taste, feel, smell, hear, imaginations, conscience, memories, reasons, affections, everything. Open up their mind and let the Word come in and march with the Word. That's a real soldier. That's the way the stars stand. And there he writes, let the Word come in. Don't be stingy with your soul. Open your heart and let him speak to you. Let him penetrate your soul. Hear him. If you don't hear him, how will you believe? How will you receive the promises if you don't open the doors of your heart? Open your heart to the Lord today in his coming. He is calling you to come up. You are not from down there. You are from up here, from above. And there he draws to the right, after the stars, he writes, or he draws a cornerstone in a pyramid and the ages. The solar system hasn't changed. The zodiac. The morning star rises on its post of duty every morning, just exactly the way it did when the earth was created. The evening stars take its place, every star. The little dipper and right at the time of season is just exactly where it's supposed to be. The North Star stands steady and never moves. Hallelujah. The whole thing revolves around the North Star. All the rest of them. Because it's right in the center of the earth. That's Christ. Amen. And he writes to the left. The whole thing revolves around the North Star equals Christ. And on the right he writes, the evening star, the morning star. He stands there, commands his army like a great captain, like Moses on the mountain with his hands up, and Israel was fighting, cutting their way through. And he stood with his hands up. He stood with his hands up until the sun went down. They had to hold his hands up. That was Moses. He was a type of Christ. To be sure that his hands stayed up, his hands was nailed up on the cross. Hallelujah. And he climbed the ramparts of glory today with his bloody garments before God at the right hand of the majesty there. And the battle to every soldier will cut his way through. I don't care what takes place with the word of God. He'll cut himself to freedom. And he writes, every individual cuts his way to freedom. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the right and also to the left. He draws two, like a chicken in an egg. What if he's afraid to peep? What if he's afraid to peep the egg? What if the little chicken, he says, or a little bird, because now he's referring to what he is going to say, or any bird that is inside the egg. What if the little chicken inside the egg, a little bird, was afraid to hit the eggshell? What if he would have heard a sound on the outside say, don't hit that shell, might hurt yourself? How many whispers to the side saying, don't you dare to connect with the tent. Don't you dare to do that. Don't you dare to read. Stay away from that. We are speaking plainly. Because we are among family. When the family sits in the living room, there we talk in between or among family. But it stays there among the family. Unless there is someone snooping around. No one invited him to be there, so if he hears anything different and start talking over there, and didn't hear everything that was said from the beginning, he may get mixed up because he might hear something. And that's what has been happening. They listen in part when they should listen to the whole thing. Catch up. And they've been told there is time. Look, if there is joy, and it was a joy under the dispensation of the grace. There was joy in heaven when a sinner repented. Now, this revival that the church bride has here on earth, because it is on earth, how much more so is there joy in the dispensation of the kingdom every time a person says, and comes with his heart humbled, saying, I really failed, I thought, I reasoned, or I heard this, or I heard that, but I allowed myself to give it, because the person has free will, and God doesn't push the person. But notice, the person in prayer says, in Chronicles, in the dedication of Solomon's temple, God said to Solomon, if my people, let us read it. If my people would humble themselves. Now notice, God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. But remember that He is also a God who is a consuming fire. But the first thing He says to them is, here is the door. I'm telling you to come in. So don't start throwing a tantrum. Like children when they start throwing, I don't know if over here they call them tantrums, where they start throwing themselves on the floor and kicking around. But at the end, they end up standing, hugging their mom and dad. Sooner or later, they will hug each other. But that's why you leave them on the floor and ask them, are you done? And now come here. You let them do it. Well, just go on with your tantrum. It's time now to stand steadfast. Stop being spoiled kids. We are not here to spoil anyone. We are already eating solid food, and you can take a bite of the word and eat it yourself. No one has to be forcing you. Where is it? In Chronicles 7:14. Let us see here. Chronicles. Let us begin on verse 11 says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See that God is waiting for you? Open your heart to the Lord. Open your heart to His countenance. Don't look at the veil. Look at what's behind the veil. Now He says, might hurt yourself? In other words, they may say to the little chicken, the chicken, or to someone, what if he would have heard a sound on the inside say, don't hit that shell, might hurt yourself. But nature itself, in the bird, tells him, pick it, knock a hole in it. Let all the old organizations say, days of miracles are past. Now, let us see something here. In this message, on page 17, on the message, the God of this evil age, there at the bottom, paragraph 72, he tells us, notice when the church world would not accept Jesus, the word manifested of that day, because why? They had it interpreted another way. But they ought to have known that He was that word, because everything that God said He would do, He did it. And He said to them, search the scriptures for this hour. And if I do not meet the qualifications that was spoken for me to do, then don't believe me. And He writes, Jesus equals the word manifested for that day. Now notice, the nature of this little chick, let us say here that Brother Branham is talking about was to break the shell. In other words, a person who is stuck in a shell has to go where? To the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Start to break that thought of unbelief so that you can come out of the shell. Now notice. He goes on saying, you are going to reach, he says, let all the old organizations say, days of miracles are past. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going into fanaticism. Pick right against the shell just as hard as you can. Hallelujah. Satan, get away. I'm coming out of here. That's it. I'm not laying here anymore. I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm not on this old devil's ground no more. I'm peeping my way out this morning. Amen. I'm an eagle. Amen. Hallelujah. But that little old eagle, that trip hammer neck back there, picking against that shell, no matter how hard that shell was, it picked right on through it. First thing you know, then he could flop his wings a little. He was all right. It wasn't that what he was told. The first thing that he did was what? Stretch out his wings. Oh, but I'm an eagle. But wait, these eagles move. I'm going up. I feel so good. And by the time he realizes it, the father eagle over there keep flapping those wings. Dust off a little while you're going up. A little piece of shell that was stuck fell off then. Dust off, elect of God. Keep flapping those wings. Keep climbing to those heights. Because the message of this end time is sending you into eternity. Because he said, if someone would fully come into this message, where is it going to send you? Into eternity. It's going to launch us into rapture when we have that eternal and glorified body to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Pick your way out. That's right. How you do it? Blasting it with, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Finally, you begin to smell some fresh air. Thus saith the Lord. Got your head on the outside. Thus saith the Lord. Push hard now. You're coming out. He never goes back to the shell again. Amen. He is free. Oh my. That word once gets set down through all those senses and conscience and things to get settled down here and that mind opens up and lets it. Oh, God, have mercy. There is never nothing to bondage it again. You're free. He who the Son has made free is out of the shell. That is, there's a scripture that says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, or set you free. If you can find it. John 8:32. Verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God is speaking to you this morning. You are getting to know the truth, for you will be free if you're under the bondage of that shell. Your denomination can never call you back. The devil could never do anything more to you. He can hiss and howl then, but you're on the highway, running at high speed. and who can catch up with you. I would not stand in the way, Brother Branham says, in front of somebody who has rapturing faith. That is an unstoppable speed. No one can reach you. Oh my, running up the King's Highway. He writes, the King's Highway. Anointed soldier of the cross. And it's all you eagles with faith, proclaiming Jesus, the light of the world, run up the King's Highway. Sure? Yes, sir. Now, our brother William continues to say, so as God makes known to us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven pertaining to this end time, we will be hand in hand with the work that He, in other words, that the Holy Spirit, God, Christ through His Holy Spirit, is carrying out at this end time through the messenger that He has at this end time. Because if He has to carry out a work, then He has to have a messenger present in the midst of the people. And who is the messenger that He has at this end time? The fulfillment of what was promised. The coming of the Son of Man with His angels. And as our brother William concludes in this excerpt, he says, may the blessings of Christ, the angel of the covenant, be upon all of you and also upon me. And may He use you greatly in His work at this end time. May He use you along with your congregation in the work pertaining to the last day. Remembering that just as the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles will bring it back to the Jews. And this is through the ministry of the two olive trees, the ministry of Moses and Elijah. And I will be working hand in hand alongside those ministries. And who else? Each one of you as well. Notice that He is also hand in hand, working alongside that ministry, alongside that instrument where the Holy Spirit is operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah and Jesus. In the message, this day the scripture is fulfilled, tells us on page 6. It tells us there, on paragraph 43 says, this day the scripture is fulfilled. How accurate is the scripture? If you'll notice this in Isaiah 61:1-2, is where our Lord was reading from. Isaiah 61:1-2. But in the middle of the second verse of Isaiah 61, He stopped, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year. Then He stopped. Why? The other part, to bring judgment, didn't apply to His first coming, but His second coming. There to the right, He writes Revelation 19:11-21. See, it didn't apply there. How the scriptures never make a mistake. They're always perfect. Jesus stopped just where the scripture stopped, because that was exactly what was to be vindicated. And He writes, fulfilled in His day. Now, in that first coming, the second coming, He will bring judgment upon the earth. But not then. He was to preach the acceptable year. To the left, He writes, the second coming. Notice the Messiah standing in the platform to identify Himself with the word of promise for that age. To the left, He writes, Messiah. And to the right, He draws the Star of David. How strange. The Messiah standing up before the church. And look at these precious words when He says here, to preach the acceptable year. To the right, He draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice, that was when He stood there, in the synagogue. Luke tells us about this, where he was given the book of the prophet Isaiah, and finding the place where it was written, he found the place. In other words, he was looking for that scripture. It's not that he just opened it there, but he searched for that scripture that had been prophesied and brought by the prophet Isaiah, which spoke of him. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues." In other words, he brought a teaching. Now we can say, "And he taught in auditoriums, and he teaches in auditoriums, and he teaches in congregations, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Now, which was the other part that he did not read? The one that pertains, as Brother Branham says, to the second coming of the Lord. Isaiah 61, it says, in other words, the continuation from where he stopped, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." In a Bible study, he wrote on that scripture, glorified body. In other words, he comes to bring the glorified body to each chosen one of God. I'll find that writing later, because I was reading it in these days there in Puerto Rico. But I don't remember if I had take a picture of that scripture and that Bible that had those writings. Now, notice how strange, the Messiah standing up before the church. Now, how would God be fulfilling that promise at this end time? In the same way. Back then, he was standing before the synagogue. Today, that promise is standing before each congregation that he goes to, in each activity that he goes to. And at any moment, he may say, "This day is the scripture fulfilled before you." See what the fulfillment of that prophecy is when it's fulfilled? It is in such a simple way that if you use your reasoning, you won't see it. The acceptable year, as we all know, as Bible readers, was the year of Jubilee, that when all slaves and prisoners, as they were being taken prison and had to give a son to pay a debt, or a daughter to pay a debt, and they were in bondage, no matter how long they had been in bondage or how long they were supposed to stay there, and there he writes Jubilee, and the great trumpet of the gospel. When the year come of the Jubilee, when the trumpet sounded, every man could go free if he wanted to go free. You're free, you was no more slave. But if you desire to remain a slave, then you had to be taken down to the temple, stood by the temple post, and they took an awl and bore a hole in your ear, and then you had to serve that slave master the rest of your days. What a perfect example it is of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it's preached, the acceptable time and the time of Jubilee, anybody, no matter who you are, what color you are, what denomination you belong to, how far you've stooped in sin, or what's wrong with you, you can't go free. When you hear the gospel trumpet sound out, you're free. But if you turn your back upon the message and refuse to hear it, notice, you were bored in the ear with an owl. That means to say that you have crossed the line between grace and judgment, and you will never hear the gospel again. You'll never get any further. You must be a slave to the system you're in the rest of your days if you refuse to hear the acceptable year. And there he writes, the gospel, the trumpet, he wrote that above. And on the side, he writes, the acceptable year. Now, the other part of it, as I said, did need to be answered. Because this coming Messiah, a time now, is when he will bring judgment. Now, how could those people ever fail to see who he was? There he writes, Messiah will bring judgment. Will preach it. Will speak it. Well, if he has to preach it and has to speak it, then he must have a veil of flesh. And if he has to preach it and has to speak it, they say that that is the Messiah. Messiah Christ, anointed one, is the same thing. They mean the same thing. He was made Lord and Christ. Lord, notice the dispensation of grace. He was Father in the law. Now, the Holy Spirit, he says, would be incarnate. Now, if he was the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, he is the same yesterday, today, and always. He continues to be the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, in the dispensation of the kingdom, with a new name. Now, how did they ever miss it? How could it be? When it was so plainly made known and showed, how could they have ever missed seeing when he... What a word. Think of it. This day is the scripture fulfilled before your eyes. Who said it? God himself, who is the interpreter of his own word. This day is the scripture fulfilled. The Messiah himself, standing in the presence of the congregation and reading a word out of the Bible pertaining to himself, and then saying, today the scripture is fulfilled. And he writes the Messiah. And they still failed to see it. But you all on this morning have caught it. And all those who are listening to me have been able to see it. That second portion of Isaiah 61. From 61, verse 2. What a tragedy that would be. But it happened. It's happened many times. How could it happen? Of course, like it did in other times. By believing man's interpretation of the word. That's what caused it. Notice that sentence there. If people could read it, and see the reason why they couldn't understand and comprehend. in the time of the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord 2,000 years ago, being fulfilled in that young carpenter named Jesus. If they read that that's what caused them not to see, from right now, they would be putting aside all the human interpretations. Because if that's the cause for them not to be able to see the fulfillment at the first coming of the Lord, well, he's already telling them, leave aside the personal interpretations, personal reasonings, so that you can see the fulfillment of the scripture, the fulfillment of the prophecies. By believing man's interpretation of the word, that's what caused it. And there he writes, by believing man's interpretation, they failed to see it. This one says something, the other one says another thing, the other one says like this, no, it's like that. Human interpretations. Those believers in them days, so-called believers, was taking the interpretation of what the priest had said about the scripture. Therefore, Jesus, not belonging to any of their ranks or their societies, he was excommunicated from their company, and therefore they could not identify him with them, because he was different from them. The person of Jesus Christ was so unique that no one should have missed seeing that that was the Son of God, because he was the perfect identification of the scriptures that was wrote of him. That's the way any Christian is known, when his life identifies the very things that the Christian is supposed to do. How he could stand there and say, this day this scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes. How outstanding, how so plainly. And yet those people misunderstood. Why? It's because they took the interpretation of some order of priests that they were listening to. And history always repeats itself. And scriptures has a compound meaning to it, and a compound revelation. Notice in today's message, the multiple fulfillment of the scriptures. And there he writes, to the right he wrote, multiple meaning and revelation. And to the left he writes, history repeat itself. For instance, like it says in the Bible that, out of Egypt I have called my son, which is what the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin was talking to us about a little bit. For instance, like it says in the Bible, out of Egypt I have called my son, referring to Jesus. Run the margin on that and you find out, also referred to Jacob, same scripture. Jesus was his greatest son. Jacob was his son that he called out of Egypt, which the Scofield reference and all other reference go to it, because that's the scripture it was referring to. So it had a double answer. It had an answer to Jacob called out and to Jesus called out. There he writes, Jacob and Jesus. And he writes, Moses above. They were called out from among the Gentiles. Also in the Book of the Ages, on page 14 of Laodicean Church Age, Brother Branham also tells us about that occasion of that scripture. Notice, it's on paragraph 73, on page 14. He says, now, we also know that scriptures sometimes mean two things. He'll say one thing, like over there in Matthew where it said, out of Egypt I have called my son. All right, I believe that was what I was hunting for. Out of Egypt I have called my son. And then if you'll run that son reference there, he was, did not. I went back into Hosea, which did not mean Jesus, his son. It was Israel his son? Out of Egypt he called Israel. But he had a compound meanings and a greater understanding to it when he meant and talked about for Jesus' coming, which was greater than Israel, when he called Israel out. All right. And there he writes to the right, double meaning. Now he continues to say, over here in the message, this day the scripture is fulfilled, and so it is today. It's because that we're in such a turmoil as we are, and people fail to see the truth of God. It's because there is too many man-made interpretations of God's word. God don't need nobody to interpret his word. He is his own interpreter. God said in the beginning, let there be light. And there was light. That doesn't need an interpretation. He said, a virgin shall conceive. And she did. That doesn't need any interpretation. When God's interpretation of his word, and he writes, he brings it to life, is when he vindicates, and he writes, he fulfills, and proves it, and he writes, he quickens it to be so. And proves it to be so. That's his interpretation, by it come to pass. That's where God's interpretation is. Is when he makes his word come to pass, he's interpreting it to you. Like if there had never been light, and he said, let there be light, and there was, that don't need anybody to interpret. But we get man-made system mixed into it, and when you do, you get it out of line. It's always been that way. And he said in the seals, they put the cow on top of the tree. The Holy Spirit is needed to put the puzzle together. But I still think of how striking it must have been. Think of it, the Messiah. Why did they fail to see him? Because their very leader is that ought to have known him, that ought to have been versed in the scripture, that ought to have been understanding of the scriptures. They belittled this man. They spoke badly of Jesus. They called him Beelzebub, that he had devils, that he was a madman, that he was an illegitimate son, that he was friend of publicans and harlots, that he was a gluttonous man and a wine drinker, and a bunch of things they spoke of Jesus, the leaders themselves, and the people listening to those leaders. And notice the harm that they caused to those people. Isn't that same thing happening today? The leaders themselves from the pulpit crucify the word by speaking to the people things that belittle the fulfillment of the prophecy, by speaking evil of the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. And said, he's an illegitimate child to begin with. We wouldn't believe that. Years later, we don't believe that. We would die for the purpose to say that he was a virgin-born son. And it'll come to pass someday that the very things that we see Jehovah doing today, man in the ages to come, if there is, will die for the things that we're talking about today. You'll have to do it when the mark of the beast comes on. And you're not allowed to preach the gospel this way. When the great union of churches comes together, which is in order right now for the world church, you'll have to seal your testimony with your own life to this. You must believe it now. Why? Because once the resurrection, the transformation and the rapture takes place, there will no longer be an opportunity for the person to be transformed and raptured. They will have to seal their life in the great tribulation. The time is now. If those priests could rise up that condemned him, would not condemn him. But you say, if I'd have been there, I would have done so and so. Well, that wasn't your age. But this is your age. This is the time. No, if I had been there, I would have done this and that. Okay. But now this is your time. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the word incarnate? Are you also going to belittle it? Are you going to keep on joining those that are discrediting the word? Or are you going to keep picking that shell and come out of there? I recommend that you all keep picking that shell, those who have not finished coming out, and come out. On Judgment Day, my voice will be played to you, and you will remember these words. Get out before it's too late. I do not wish for you to be left behind. God doesn't wish for you to stay in the Great Tribulation. What He wishes to is to take you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Great Tribulation will be a terrible, terrible thing. Every time I think of notice, I even get shaking because I go back to the words that He spoke to me. It always makes me so nostalgic to picture Him telling me those words. Benji, the Great Tribulation will be something terrible. But terrible. I don't even wish it upon my worst enemy. It will be something terrible. He did that with that anguish and sadness. And if I could express to you how He spoke it to me, I would. Because what will come to this planet Earth is terrible. That is why it is best for you to come up high to the age of the cornerstone. Open your heart to the Lord. Open your heart to His coming. He stood there in front of that congregation and said it to them. This day is the scripture fulfilled before you. Now notice. There he writes, every scripture has a multiple meaning and revelation. Every revelation that God was given through the prophets, we can see it in others, in what that other prophet spoke. When God fulfills it, and we see that revelation, and we also see a prophet speaking about the same thing over here, then we see two revelations there. Now notice in this message, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, preached on May 7, 2004 in Austin, Texas, the United States, he tells us. Now, there will be a gap between the end of the dispensation of grace and the beginning of the dispensation of the kingdom. There will be a gap between the end of the church, that is, in the last stages of the church, and the beginning of the 3.5 years. That's 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And there will be a gap, a period of time, where Christ will be working and fulfilling prophecies that were already fulfilled in the Old Testament with the Hebrew people in the time of Moses and then in the time of Jesus. Look at this writing that he placed here in a notebook where he writes there. Now there he is speaking about the time of Moses and then the time of Jesus. Prophecies that he would be fulfilling in this end time in that gap. Now notice in this writing, it says, Sister Meta Broy is a type of the church bride of Christ receiving Elijah before the day of vengeance of our God. In other words, the Great Tribulation during that time. First, Christ marries His church, first Christ marries His church bride to bring forth daughters and a son. And he writes, Rebecca, groups. Sarah, groups. Jose equals the coming of Christ through His church in the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As simple as that. Everything that was shown by the Reverend William Branham and by his family speaks to us of what God would be doing at this end time before the Great Tribulation begins. Now also notice in another writing that he left us, he tells us the complete fulfillment of the Bible is carried out at this time. The complete fulfillment of the Bible is carried out at this time. That's big. All the fulfillment of the Bible is being fulfilled today. Today, all the fulfillment of the Bible is being carried out. And then, since those prophecies are prophecies that have a multiple fulfillment, now there is a writing where he says, prophecy has a multiple fulfillment in a short term and long term. And he writes intermediate. In other words, intermediate as well. Prophecy has a multiple fulfillment, short term and long term. And he writes intermediate and long term, double and triple. He goes on to say, because they belong to God's firstborn, so they must be fulfilled again in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Israel of the New Covenant, and in the firstborns of God as individuals. The multiple fulfillment of the Scriptures. It has been a great privilege for me and a great blessing to be able to be with you this morning or on this afternoon already. We are 2 minutes after noon. In this afternoon, with you here in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Here they call it the heart of South America and Paraguay as well, right? So, well, two hearts. That's fine. And I was also told that over here they called Santa Cruz the purest sky of the Americas. The purest sky of the Americas. That is how the Lord wants to see us. May God remove everything contrary to the Word of God. And may He see us like this pure sky of Santa Cruz. May He see us through those ministries of Moses and Elijah, and may He see us cleansed. We do not want the divine judgments. We want the blessings that He brings in His coming, not only for the Bolivian people, but for everyone who opens their heart to the Lord in His second coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His claiming work. He comes for His church. He comes for His bride, to take her to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you very much for your kind attention. It has been a very receptive audience. And with those open hearts, where I have felt that no word has fallen to the ground, but instead it's fallen on good ground, which are you, human beings, the good Bolivian ground that has received this word today. And may this word germinate in your hearts, and may you be red epistles in Bolivia. May Bolivia be delivered from every country, political, religious, every sickness and everything. May Bolivia be an example for the world before God. May they see that they are obedient and that when God speaks, they humble themselves because He is waiting for you to have a contrite heart, where He says in the Psalms, a broken and contrite heart, as David says, you will not despise. That is a psalm. Therefore, you already know how to approach Him. Remember, He is in His holy temple. His holy temple is His church. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Psalm 51. Since you looked it up there, Psalm 51. Verse 17 tells us, Psalm 51, verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. See, may this scripture come before the presence of the Lord through that veil and comes before Him as a sweet savor before His presence. And may He incline His face upon Bolivia, upon its inhabitants. And may He deliver Bolivia in all senses. I believe it. And there is a people here who also believes it. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God watch over you and continue to prepare you to obtain the promises at this end time. And soon we will see each other in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you will say, it was worth it. It was worth the struggle. It was worth to persevere. I am here. The tears will be wiped away. Everything will have passed. And they will say to us, enter. Enter into what I have prepared for you. Enter into the eternal joy. And that is for you. There is no other people. It is the Latin American and Caribbean people that He has been preparing at this time to receive those promises, those blessings. They are ours. No one will take them away from our lives. The multiple fulfillment of the scriptures. We are being carried away by that great eagle, great white eagle. I heard it today. We can sing it. Great white eagle. Or white eagle. Here with our brother Rudy. May God bless you, Rudy. It's a blessing to see you and hear you in this hymn that you sang in this morning. So all together, let us sing this hymn and accompany our brother singing it. Thank you. great white eagle. Who came from heaven to seek your children, to seek your children, the children you have begotten. I had never seen you, great white eagle, but my heart knew your voice. I lived sad and hopeless, drowned in the world before seeing you, my God. Blessed be the Lord. But that great I always watchful over that eaglet, over that eaglet that he begot. His wings and his voice of thunder were heard. Come up to the rock. Let's leave this place. Use your wings. Take flight now. Come out of Laodicea. Go up to eternity. I feel so free. Flying on high. Safe by your side. Safe by your side. Almighty God. It is Moses and Elijah. The mighty wings. He is leading me to my eternal home. He knows the way. He knows the place. Safe on his wings, I'll arrive there. It is Moses and Elijah, the mighty wings. He is leading me to my eternal home. He knows the way. He knows the place. Safe on his wings, I will arrive there. Safe on his wings, I will arrive there. Safe on his wings, I will arrive there. Amen. To where? To the house of our Heavenly Father. To the marriage supper of the Lamb. To where you lead me. Where do you lead me, Lord? To your house. In other words, He is leading us to be with Him, and that will be very soon. There is a hymn that was also sung. I don't know if the one who sang it is around here. I'm not sure if that song is by William Romero. And we can also sing it. Ah, there she is. Let's sing it. That hymn and in this way, we are being prepared. You're my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. How? In the fulfillment of that prophecy. Fulfilling your coming. You are my Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move. Lord, flow in your people. Settle in each heart. Search us, Lord. You are my Lord. You're my God, my King. The master of my being, omnipotent and faithful. Take what I am. Take all of me. And do what you want for your glory. My soul, spirit, and body, I dedicate to you. To you alone. And now I rest in your everlasting arm. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever you take me, I'll be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me make it to the end. Break the shell and come out saying, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. My soul, spirit, and body I dedicate to you alone. And now I rest in your everlasting arm. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Yes, Lord. Wherever you take me, I will be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. Obedience, serving you is my life, oh God, let me reach the end. Make it to the end. Make it to the end. Reach the end. Omnipotent and faithful. He said, where I am, there you will be also. Therefore, He wants to take us to that supper that is prepared, which we have been invited to, and we have accepted that invitation. It has truly been a blessing and a privilege for me to be here with you, sharing these moments of fellowship around the Word in this subject, the multiple fulfillment of the Scriptures. Let us immediately leave with us in this subject our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.